he is the market manager at the Chico Certified Farmers Market. Hello, Tanner.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, it's nice to see you. And I see you, Tanner, and I see each other every week because I actually have a booth at the market.
So, yeah, Bobby's got the best coffee, best pour over coffee in the farmer's market.
By golly, I do. So we see each other each week, and I've been at the market a long time, so I kind of had forgotten that it's a nonprofit organization.
It is, indeed.
Yeah. And you've got a board of directors.
We do, yeah. We've got a board of directors and a small staff. Including me and two other people. Uh-huh. And that's basically it. We're the ones that organize the whole event.
But to be on the board, do you have to be a vendor?
Yes. Yeah. So all of our board members are vendors. They're members of the market. Okay. So, you know, and they serve their term limit and then cycle through. And some of them have stayed in for years and years and years, and it's really great because they volunteer their time. They don't get paid for it, so it's very generous of them. All of them basically are business owners, and balancing that with their lives, and they still make the time to help run the market. It's really great. We really appreciate them.
And you lease that from the city?
Yes, that lot we lease from the city. Yeah, we pay them a lease.
Okay. All right. And it extends all the way out to the edges of the sidewalk?
Yep. All the way to the curb.
Okay. Yep. I know, because that's one thing that people kind of wonder sometimes. Can I come and set something out over here?
Yeah. I've had that conversation too many times to count.
I bet you have. And you've got Saturday Farmers Market and you've got Wednesday.
That's right. We've got the Wednesday Farmers Market. That's in the shopping mall plaza by Trader Joe's. That's every Wednesday. That's a year-round market as well.
More work on Saturday and Wednesday, of course.
Right. So my job is mostly the day of operations. So I'm, you know, helping the vendors and collecting fees and making sure everything runs smoothly. And then there's also a bit of work that we do just to prepare for the markets during the week, making the maps and responding to emails and just coordinating certain things.
And it's the whole, for the one on Saturday, it takes up that whole block, which is First Street to Second Street between Wall and...
Have to look it up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I can't either. It's the one that the pageant's on.
Right.
It's a whole block.
It's a whole block, right.
Yeah. And you lease that from the city?
That's correct, yeah. Yep. And so we have about, you know, at the height of the season, we'll have anywhere from 70 to 80 vendors at the market on a given Saturday, selling a bunch of different stuff, but, you know, primarily fruits and vegetables and other food products.
And if it's fruits and vegetables, are they all certified organic?
No. So that's a really interesting question. So we, you know, if you're walking around the Saturday market, you might see certain signs that say, now entering the certified section. And that's a bit of a misconception, is a lot of people think that those sections mean certified organic, but what it actually means is that it's a certified agricultural product. And so all that means is that all of those vendors who are in that aisle, they are growing what they sell. So there's a county agricultural supervisor who visits their farm and checks out, you know, makes sure that they've got everything that they say they've got. And they make sure that they're legit. So they've all got a sheet that says what they grow and it's confirmed. And that's the only thing that they're allowed to sell at the market. So we know that it's all, you know, real fruits and vegetables that they're growing. They're not buying it somewhere else.
Sure. And then scattered throughout, there are some farms that are organic and they say so on their booth.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a whole other process, a whole other can of worms. And yes, so all those farmers will have, you know, the proper labeling and it should be pretty clear for customers which ones they are.
Okay, yeah, I did wonder about that because I can see that sign. And then how does one get to be in the market? Because like you said, 80 booths, that's quite a few. That's in the summer, huh?
Yeah, that at the height of the summer, it can be really packed. It's tricky sometimes. You know, we have a lot of people who will come up to us and are interested in being a part of the market. And it's tricky for us because, you know, it's such a vibrant economic cultural space, and so many people, you know, see that and they want to be a part of it. And so I have people come up to me all the time and ask, you know, how can I, you know, sell whatever at the market? And the board of directors really has a tricky job because they are the ones that have to decide who can come in and who doesn't get to come in.
Yeah.
And so our board is really focused on farmers right now. You know, we're a farmers market, so we really believe in supporting new farms, new farmers. We're supporting the ones that we've been able to have stick around with us for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, usually what would happen, you know, if we have a farm that is applying, they'll go to our website and they'll, you know, list, you know, what they want to sell, when they want to sell it. And we will look and see, you know, is there a niche for them in our market? You know, if we've got a ton of citrus right now and they're wanting to bring in citrus, maybe it's not a good time for them. But if they've got something special that we don't have, you know, we really want to pursue them and encourage them to become a part of the market. And usually if it's someone that the board is interested in and they really want to have become a part of it, we'll have them start on, you know, maybe our Wednesday market, or we also have a seasonal Tuesday market in Paradise. So we'll have them start in one of those two markets, and just to, you know, make sure that they're prepared for, you know, the level of the consumers that are going to be buying their products, make sure they're producing enough, make sure they can handle it. Mm-hmm. And then after they've spent, a few months at those markets, if we have space available for them in Saturday, we'll bring them into the Saturday market.
And Saturday's the big one.
Saturday is the big one that everybody wants to be in.
So I sometimes wonder about that. So at the height of the season, there's so many vegetables and so many people selling. Is that discouraging sometimes for some of the vendors just because there's so many of them?
It can be. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you know, there's definitely an element of competition, and it's definitely a friendly competition. You know, the farmers are all on really great terms with one another. You know, most of them have known each other for years, if not decades. And so it's a big community. It's a big family, really. Mm-hmm. But definitely, you know, and so that's a concern that they'll bring up to us is, you know, I might have a farmer come up to me, say, man, Tanner, there is just so much lettuce in this market. Please don't let in more lettuce vendors because I'm trying to sell this lettuce. And, and, you know, I'll pass that message along to the board. And, you know, that's something that we definitely think about. And that's one of the big challenges is balancing, you know, supporting our existing farmers who have been with us for a long time and supporting new young farmers who are just starting out.
Sure. And then baked goods. And so some of the other things that are in the market, they go through kind of the same vetting thing, I would imagine, too.
Definitely. Yeah. We have a little bit less space for, you know, those types of vendors with baked goods and, you know, pastries, foods, you know, that kind of thing. And there's definitely room for them, but it's just a little bit more limited. So, you know, and it's the same idea, you know, we're looking, all right, where is their niche? Where are they going to fit in this market? Do we have space for them? Sure. And if they do, they'll start out one of the satellite markets and then work their way up.
And I see a few crafts, not many. I know that at Christmas time, I have to say it was really neat to go to the Wednesday market. Because it was so many crafts were there. The market was big and exciting. There's not too many, right, at a farmer's market.
At the Saturday market, we have really limited space for crafts. And it ends up being, you know, people who have been there for, you know, a long, long time, who've really put in a lot of time into the market. And that is why it's really nice to have that holiday craft fair. Because, you know, we get all of these applications for people, you know, that want to sell these really interesting, neat crafts. And we're a farmer's market. We don't have that much room for them. So it's nice to have a venue for them, you know, once a year to really put themselves out there. So we enjoy that market a lot.
Yeah, no, that was lively. And it's a lively time of year. It was kind of neat to be there.
Indeed, yeah. Just came from our Wednesday market. And we're down to, you know, about 16 vendors in that market. And it's very spare. And customers know there's not a lot in season right now. So this is kind of like the slow season, you know. We're all just kind of, you know, just holding on and waiting for spring.
You know, that's another thing people will talk to me about. This market never closes. It's open year round.
Yeah, and that is something really special. I mean, not a lot of farmers markets do that. And you know, some of that I would say is on the strength of our bakers and our other food producers, because these people sell some really, really terrific products that you know, the season really doesn't affect these guys. Yeah. And they bring some products that are really, really terrific. Like, you know, your coffee cart is one example, right? Kamina Bakery is another example.
Yep.
These things that are going to bring customers back
Right.
every single week, even during the winter.
They'll come just for one thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that's true. So it's open. And what time does it open in the morning?
So we open at 7:30 and the market will close at 1 in the afternoon. So yeah. All of us vendors, we get there at the market at the dark of morning, I like to say it.
I know. Yeah. So that's your Saturday morning. No sleeping mm-hmm. in there.
Nope.
And is Wednesday the same?
Wednesday's the same. Opens at 7:30 in the morning, closes at 1 in the afternoon. Rain or shine. Yep. And they do mean rain or shine.
You know, and one thing about the market, and this has been years that the market's been there, and they've had some ups and downs and different problems that have been ironed out. And I know that we expanded the market here recently so that those edges went out so that you have some space. It looked like more for craft way on the one side. Oh, and the percentage of people in Chico that use the farmer's market is very small. And, you know, we sometimes talk about that. Just how do we get more people to come? Because the market, when it's hopping in the spring and summer, can really put out a lot of food.
It can. Yeah. That's something that we think about a lot. I mean, we have dedicated board members whose job is just marketing. And, you know, they work with radio and TV to, you know, make advertisements. And, you know, we are very active on social media. That seems like a good avenue for reaching people these days, especially young people. Mm-hmm. So that's something we are definitely very interested in. It is quite a funny question, you know, how to get people interested in the market, how to bring more people into the market. And it makes me think of one of our partners, our nonprofit partners is the Center for Healthy Communities. And they are really, really terrific in making the market more accessible to people and bringing people into the market. They've got this really terrific program called Market Match, where you can come to the farmer's market and you can use your EBT card and you can pull out money. It'll be in the form of a token for you to spend at the farmer's market on produce and bread and coffee and such things like that. And it's really, really neat because, you know, one misconception people have about farmers markets is that it's so expensive, it's not accessible. And so this is one way to, you know, alleviate that expense and make it a little bit more accessible for people of all economic levels. So not only will they let you take out EBT money at the market, but they will actually match you dollar for dollar up to $15. And that extra 15, you're free to spend on fruits and vegetables. So it's a really, really great program. And we're just so lucky to have them as partners.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I see them there and I always appreciate it. I go, this market is so, it's just friendly and it's user-friendly for people. You've been listening to North State Give and Take. I'm Bobby Tryon, and I'm talking with Tanner Hansen from the Chico Certified Farmers Market. And stay tuned, we'll be back after a short break. To my interview with Tanner Hansen from the Chico Certified Farmers Market. Now, the other thing is this kind of movement that we have going in our community about supporting our local farmers. You know, Pam Leary does a lot of work with that. You know, that's another sort of selling point, if you will. This is the place where our local farmers are.
Yeah.
And this is the place to find them and buy things from them.
So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, not only are you, you know, buying food from local farmers, but you're buying them from their hand. They are going to, you know, give them right to you, the person who grew it. And you can, I see customers, you know, who have been buying from the same farmers for years and years. And, you know, they're on a first name basis, they're friends. And it's really neat to see this, you know, kinship between, you know, the customer and the farmer. You know, it's not just a transaction, it's a relationship.
Yeah, we check in, how are you doing, what's been happening? Yeah, there's a lot of that talk at the market for sure. I mean, one of the reasons that I think it's hard sometimes, this is with community radio as well, there's so many other options.
That's true.
I mean, the places we can go to buy food, you know, and I think sometimes younger people, they go to those faster places, easier places, and it's
more convenient places.
More convenient.
Because that is the thing about the market is it's once a week or twice a week.
Yeah.
But you know, if you miss that Saturday market where that vendor is selling that you want to buy from, then you know you're gonna have to wait another week.
You missed it.
And that product that you wanted to buy, maybe you can buy it also at the grocery store, at Safeway or Raley's.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. There is that mm-hmm. It's more convenient to buy at a grocery store. They're open 24 hours.
Yep.
And so the thing that the market really has going for it, for me, it is that community. You aren't going to know half as many people at the grocery store. You're not going to have half as many conversations with people. Yeah. Every time you go to the farmer's market, you see people you have these conversations, you have these interactions, For me, like working at the market during COVID was, my social time,
Yeah.
I was, cooped up inside quarantining, and then going to the market was just such a breath of fresh air, because here's my whole community. Everybody's here in this one spot. Everybody that I know. Yeah. And I'm catching up with people, and I'm, meeting with friends, and it's, you can't get that anywhere else.
No. You absolutely can't. And you're welcomed if you haven't been there before now, you just start coming and you just
absolutely
get the feel of it. I see a lot of when the students come, I see a shift. Students will come through the market. I don't think they buy so much stuff, but I see them come and I see them bring their parents when their parents are here. You can tell. You can tell. So there's some, I think it's a little destination for people if they come and they're visiting Chico.
I meet people who, have come in to visit family from, other sides of the country or the world, and people who don't know the Chico community at all will still have a great time at the Saturday market.
Right.
It really is a terrific place. When you're there, you just, even if you didn't know a single person, you still feel that warmth.
Yeah.
No matter who you are.
Well, and people say to me that our market is remarkable. They have markets, all over the country.
Yeah.
But a lot of them will say they don't have one like this because they
don't
really notice it. And they'll come back, especially if they have a kid in college. When they come, they come back to the farmer's market.
Yeah, I think I'm probably biased, but I agree. I think it is really a remarkable market.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's great. So the other thing that sometimes is there is buskers.
Yep.
And so does the market if they can find a spot, the market's pretty.
Yeah, that's our policy. We like to, I like to think of the market as, a space that is open for everybody. We don't really like to police so much, besides the farmers that we work with, who can come in and participate. So as far as musicians go, buskers go, with a few, mild rules to, kind of keep things in line, we're pretty willing to have people come in and play some music, play a little guitar, play a little violin. Sometimes we have some really wild people, like
interesting
people. We've had, there was a musician who would come every Saturday who would come every Saturday and do tricks, and he would just block up the aisles with these crowds of people watching his magic tricks. It's like, but that's the magic of the market, really.
Right. And you can, little kids dancing in front of one of the musicians. It's so cute sometimes. Yeah. I like it. And you can, if you have a booth near some music, it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's nice music,
usually it is. Let's see. The other thing, I know that dogs are not allowed in the market. So sometimes I see them outside on the side. And the other thing is the bike corral. Isn't that there too? Which is another great thing.
Yeah. We partner with Chico Velo to do our bike parking, and they do that during the summer for us, when people are most riding their bikes. So you can come and they do this bike valet. So you bring your bike up, they'll take the bike and park it for you and give you a ticket. Yeah. So it just makes it really convenient, just roll up. You don't have to worry about finding a place to lock your bike. You just roll up, give it to them, do your shopping, and then you can come and get it when you're done.
Yeah, that's great. The market just encourages sort of the good things. You know, that, riding your bike. The other part to that I was thinking about is whenever you go buy things elsewhere, it's all packaged.
You've got
all the packaging and all the transportation, whereas here, that's there. There's no middleman.
It's that really is the great part, you know, for the customer and for the farmer as well. You know, I used to work at Sierra Cascade Blueberries. I was a farmer for a season, and I got to, you know, learn firsthand, like, how, you know, selling at the farmer's market is really the most profitable place that the farmer can sell, because there is no middleman. There's no cost being cut. You know, it's just straight to the customer. So it's the most profitable for them. And to them, it's the most enjoyable, because they're seeing the person who is, you know, going to enjoy the fruits of their labor right there.
Right.
So yeah, it's great. It's really great for both consumer and for the farmer.
Yep, it is. And I see that every Saturday. I see people happy and then coming back. Oh, I love those carrots. I'm going to come back and get some. You know, they get used to what they get and where they get it.
Yeah.
It's neat.
It's really neat.
Yeah. And also, I know you do have some porta potties there, which is another good thing for people, because I think for a while we didn't years ago.
Yeah. I mean, you know, all of the vendors are going to be there for, you know, almost 8 hours. You got to have somewhere to pee.
Got to have something. Exactly. So that's good for people. Just to say that you don't have to get there at 7:30. I mean, there's some people that are there 7:30. They go, you know, get their stuff and go. But, you know, around 10:30 or 11, listeners out there, it's great to stop into the market. And, you know, even if you don't buy something, which you will, to just see what it's like. Look at what there is for sale. As Tanner and I both said, right now, the market looks a little sparse because there's not a lot of things, not a lot of veggies out there.
Yeah. But, you know, still the hours, you know, about 10 to 12 at this coming market, I guarantee those aisles are going to be packed with people.
They are.
You know, it's going to be a great place to be any time of the year.
It is. It's, and then when it's sunny like this Saturday, oh my goodness, people just love to come. And they hook up, you know. I have watched over the years a pregnant person, then I've watched this baby, then I've watched this baby grow, and I actually have some now older teenagers and actually young adults that come back and say,
wow,
they remember me from, you know, watching their family grow. I get to see all of that.
I love that. Yeah. There really are, you know, there are, I feel like there are dynasties of the farmer's market, you know, these families that they come through the market and, you know, you'll see, you know, friendships 20, 30, 40 years old, you know, that started in the farmer's market and are still going strong. And I love, I mean, I myself, you know, as a little kid would come to the market and I recognize,
you know,
some of the central figures, you know, Brad, you know, impossible to miss.
So some of the things, just to put it out there, I was going to think about that people may not realize. There's olives there. There's soap there. Nice ceramics. Dave does the wooden furniture.
Furniture.
And Kirsten does beautiful jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's things there. Michelle does lovely cards and stationery stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things there that you may not realize.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's some really neat products people, you know, don't know about. You know, we've got Lola Isern selling olive oil. Like, that's a neat product. And we've got, you know, almond butter. I mean, just neat stuff that you might not think we've got.
There. Salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Organic meat from Wookiee. And cheese. Things that you might not, you know, when you think of vegetables, think beyond vegetables, because there's
absolutely
a lot there.
Yeah.
A lot there. I know that some nonprofits do come in and table at the market. And is that something, and how do they do that if they're interested? And they get to set up a spot and actually talk to people that are coming.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so we have a designated area in our market just especially for nonprofits. And they don't have to pay anything. And we reserve them a space. You know, if they're interested in coming to table, they'll get at least 2 Saturdays a month to come and table. And they can just set up a space and, you know, talk to people about their nonprofit, get the word out there, you know, be in the community. And yeah, we have a lot of nonprofits that take advantage of that. And it's a really healthy part of the market, I think.
It is. Yep. So they just contact, I know that when you go online, you go to CCFM. Is that mm-hmm. what it is? And
yeah.
All that information would be there for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's there on our website.
Yeah. And that's free. That's just nonprofits getting volunteers together to do it.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely free.
Yep. Well, that sounds good. All right. Well, Tanner, thank you so much for talking to me.
Yes, of course. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. It was funny because, like I said, I kind of forgot about the farmer's market.
Being, yeah.
You know, hey, it's not
right under your nose.
Yeah. Nonprofit and hardworking, really. I know that you put in your time.
Oh, sure. I appreciate that. Well, all you vendors and farmers, gosh, some of the hardest working people that I've ever met. So
I know. Well, especially those farmers, boy, they're doing it all. They go home and do it.
Oh my gosh. Truly. Yeah. You can't even imagine the amount of work that goes into one single bundle of carrots that they sell.
And then bringing it all down and taking.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Yep. Yep. All right, Tanner. Thanks a lot. And I'll see you on Saturday.
Of course. All right. I'll see you then, Bobby.
All right. Bye, Tanner.
Take care. Bye.
You just heard a pre-recorded interview with Tanner Hansen from the Chico Certified Farmers Market. And the website for that market is chicofarmersmarket.com. So you can go there and get information and learn what you might want to know by going to chicofarmersmarket.com. I also want to mention a few other things that I know you can get at the market just to kind of pique your interest. And that's mushrooms, wine, different lotions, creams for your skin, flowers, of course, olives, bread. There's a balloon man there, which I know kids love that. Tamales, empanadas. I had already mentioned organic meat and salmon and cheese. There are so many things there. Honey, almond butter, just to kind of get people interested to go see what there is at the farmer's market. There's so many things there. It is a good way to support our community. Thanks for listening to North State Give and Take. My name's Bobby Tryon. You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM. I'm here every Tuesday. You can catch my shows archived at kzfr.org. Go to programs, go to Tuesdays, and then go to the date, and you can listen to any of my interviews. Stay tuned now for Ginger and Radioactive.